When Hollywood needs a big dude, and I mean a really big dude, they can call on all sorts of former athletes, but they'd be hard-pressed to find many with the heart and humor of my next guest. Terry Crews has stolen quite a few scenes in movies like The Expendables and White Chicks. He was the dad on TV's Everybody Hates Chris, and he is currently a police sergeant on the Golden Globe-winning Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And maybe his most puzzling role? Those surreal ads for Old Spice from a couple of years ago.
Old Spice body spray will make you feel so powerful it'll blow your mind right in front of your face!
I still don't get those. Anyway, the former NFL linebacker can now add author to his business card. Terry Crews has a new memoir coming out on Tuesday. It's called Manhood.
It's all about my journey into being a man. The book should have been called, you know, Terry Crews is an Idiot, and this is how I survived. I'm serious. There was so much astounding immaturity in this book. I have to say, I'm very ashamed of a lot of things that went down in my life. Like, I'm almost like, how did I make it out of that?
Your story starts in Flint, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Your father worked for the auto industry during this time of real sharp decline, and before work, he was all business, and after work, he was kind of an ugly drunk.
Yes.
What were the lessons about manhood that you were learning from your father at the time?
Wow. You know, my father was a hard worker. I mean, that was his thing. But also, he dealt with a lot of his past problems. You know, as an African-American, there's a lot of things that culturally, we just don't talk to each other. Anything bad in the past is supposed to be suppressed and, you know, somebody had it harder than you. So just be glad you're eating, you know, and that's the attitude. And then what would happen is he would bury all his problems in alcohol. But what happened is it would come out one way or the other. He abused my mother. There was a lot of physical violence in the home. My father was addicted to alcohol, and my mother was addicted to religion. We were in a denomination that didn't allow us to go to the movies. We couldn't dance. We couldn't play sports. My mother couldn't wear makeup. It was damn near Amish.
You know? You should have been in Footloose.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. Well, all those things I just mentioned, I ended up doing, except wearing makeup. But I do wear makeup on Brooklyn Nine-Nine,
right,
so it works
right out.
But it's kind of wild because I ended up in all those worlds.
Well, you got married pretty early in life to the single mother of a toddler.
Yes.
And, you know, as you mentioned, this was not your typical childhood where, you know, you'd go on dates. In fact, you didn't do that until your late teens.
Yep.
Seems like you jumped in the deep end of adulthood pretty quickly.
You know, getting married the day before my 21st birthday, everybody opposed it. They were like, you don't even know what's going on. You don't. I said, now I can be the hero. Because I always saw myself as a superhero. I was like, here's a single mom. And she was actually on welfare when I met her. And she had a baby who was only 6 months old when we met. And I was going to sweep her off her feet and take this family and do all these great things. And this is I will be her hero and the whole deal. But I didn't even know myself. I had no clue. And she suffered the brunt of a delayed adolescence. I was addicted to pornography at a very young age. So I would do that just in the cut, you know, even as I'm married, the whole thing. That cognitive dissonance thing's happening all the way. Oh, yeah, I'm good, and I go to church and all this stuff, but then I turn around, and I'm addicted to pornography at the same time. More stress.
Well, your ticket out of Flint was a full athletic scholarship. You ended up making it to the NFL, but you always had post-football life in the back of your mind. What did you think you would do?
No, when I met my wife, while we were dating, I told her that I was going to play in the NFL, and I was going to move to L.A., and we're going to make movies. That's exactly what I told her. I had a love affair with entertainment. That was another release thing for me because once I got a little bit older, my mother got a little looser on the movie thing.
You know what I mean? So you could go to the theater.
So, yeah, the first movie we ever got to see was The Apple Dumpling Gang, which with Tim Conway and the whole thing. And then she let us graduate. We begged and begged and begged. And I got to see Star Wars. Changed my life. I told her, like, film is better than church because you get your morality from movies. You don't get it from church. I'm like, preacher's lying to me right here because I know what he's doing in, somewhere else. But the movies, it tells you what's right. The force is with you. This, you know, it's
what,
like,
what was the morality from the apple dumpling game?
Well, yeah. You know, I blanked it out real bad. Like, no. And I said, this is where I'm learning life. And I said, I got to be a part of this.
I'm speaking with actor Terry Crews about his new memoir, Manhood. We have an ongoing series on this show called My Big Break. And I wonder if you could tell us how your acting career got started. What was your big break?
Well, a friend of mine invited me to an audition. It was a TV show called Battle Dome, which was basically American Gladiator on steroids. Okay? They put me in a cage, light the end zone fire, and put me in with three contestants, and I was forced to battle my way out. We sent people to the hospital. I mean, every day someone was going straight to the hospital. It was a circus with human beings. I remember being an extra in Training Day, and I was the guy who, when Denzel's yelling at everybody in the neighborhood and King Kong ain't got nothing on me, I'm standing right there behind him. In the Oscar, when Denzel won the Oscar, it's me and Denzel on the screen. They showed his scene. If I never did anything after that, I was like, Mom, I was on the Oscars. I'm in the Academy Awards. My family flipped. They're like, you're on the Academy Awards.
And by that time, she's okay with the movie.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, she's good now. She's good. Everybody changed since then.
Sure.
You know?
So you've had all this really radical change in your professional life over the years. And you have been with your wife for, what, it must be 20?
It'll be 25 years in July.
How has that relationship changed through all this?
Wow. You know, the biggest change came on what I call D-Day, when I had to reveal my addiction to my wife. And it wasn't anything like I got caught.
Are you talking about your pornography addiction?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And it was like, she's like, something's weird. There's something you're not telling me. And I told her. I told her everything. And I remember she was like, that's it. I'm out. It's a wrap. Over. Peace. And I was like, oh, my God, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. And what was wild is that a little while later, she gave me another chance. She said, now that I know everything, I'm still choosing to love you. And I mean, let me tell you something. My marriage could have went either way. She was right to make any kind of decision she wanted. If she wanted to go, nope, I don't want any more, she was justified and right to do that. But she said, I'm going to love you. That kind of mercy, that kind of grace it took our relationship a whole nother level. Because this is one thing I never realized and one thing I never thought. I always thought if she really knew who I was, she wouldn't want to be with me. And that blew my mind. You have to know everything about the other person. And if they still love you, that's all you can ask for.
Would it be fair to say that's the greatest lesson of manhood? Forgiveness?
That is the greatest lesson. Manhood used to be the Marlboro Man. My way. The highway. I walk alone. And the Marlboro Man is always by himself. Family, kids can't hang with him. They don't understand him. But what happens is that guy, in his 60s, he's back there in his shed and he's crying his eyes out. He's alone. No one wants to be with him. And I averted that future. And now I'm going a whole other way. And my job is to tell other men and other women who deal with those kind of men how to understand themselves.
That's actor Terry Crews. His new memoir is called Manhood, How to Be a Better Man or Just Live with One. And by the way, announced this week that he is the new host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hopefully you'll be a little less imposing than you were on Battle Dome.
Oh, no, there'll be more. No, there'll be explosions. There will be explosions if you don't get the answer right. I'm going to punch you if you don't get it right. No, I'm kidding. That won't happen. That's a joke. I love you.
Uncle. Terry Crews, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Can we edit that out?
No, absolutely not.
I just said I was going to punch it again. I did. You're going to see the next thing. Terry Crews just fired from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
You're going to be in People magazine.
The only man who had the job for 10 days.